This is the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May this timeless message bless you today. And remember, a life on fire is a life well spent.
Who has the power? God has the power. Because Jesus lives in me, I have the power. Now we're going to talk on the message, you have the power. And then at the end of the message, if any of you still don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come because Jesus is the power of God. First of all, we're going to read from John 17, verse 17. Listen to the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Let's honor the Word of God. Listen to it as you sit there. John 17, Jesus is about to go to the cross the very next day. They're going to kill him on the cross. And he's praying to God the Father, and listen to what he says. Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them, I separate myself that they may be truly sanctified. And listen to Jesus's prayer for every young person here today and every adult. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent them. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, Father. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now tonight, God wants to remind you who he is and the power that is yours. I heard the other day about an African-American preacher friend of mine from Chicago. And he and his wife went to a foreign city and they went shopping. But he took off on his own and his wife went on her own. Naturally, like most men, in 20 minutes, he was back at the hotel. His wife took her time shopping. And he comes back and he forgot to ask for the key to the room. So he's pacing up and down the hotel hallway waiting for his wife. She was supposed to get back at 10 o'clock. She didn't show. 10:05, he's beginning to get steamed up. 10 minutes later, he's really getting worked up badly. 15 minutes later, he's getting really angry now. At 20 minutes past, he was about to blow up. The elevator comes and his wife walks out, filled with packages, big smile, happy as could be. And he says, where were you? 20 minutes late. I've been pacing up and down the hallway here waiting for you. The wife, still excited, puts down all the packages, walks up, puts a hand in his jacket, pulls out the key and says, I put it in your pocket before I left because I knew you'd get here before me. And this man had the power to get into the room all this time. I had the power. I had the power next to my heart, right here in my pocket, but I didn't know it. And you know, there are millions of Christians like that. They're steaming about this, complaining about that, and they don't realize they have the power, and the power is Jesus Christ living in your hearts. Yes, he is the power. And this man had the power to get into the room, but he never checked, and he completely didn't know he had the power right there next to his heart. Now, tonight, I want to tell you four things that you have the power for. First of all, when Jesus prays to the Father, he gives you the power to love one another. You know, one of the great complaints about the churches is that we don't get along with each other. We don't pull together. When an evangelist comes to town, many churches don't want to work together. All of you here tonight, you come from all sorts of denominations. I was looking at the vans and looking at all the sections as I came in today, and there's churches of all denominations. You young people and middle age and older people, you're here because you love Jesus. Am I right or wrong? Yes, you love Jesus. But you know, when you love Jesus, you have the power to love one another. And we have to make actual moves to love one another every possible way. When you go back to your hometown, begin to pray by name for the churches in your community. Encourage, if you're a pastor, pray by name. Pray for the churches around you from other denominations. We have the power for daily living to love one another. We have the power to worship God Almighty. And every morning when we get up, before we leave the house, spend time worshiping God. We have the power and the authority to enter into the presence of God. Second, you have the power to be holy and pure in the eyes of God. Yes, God is the only truly holy one. But you remember what the Bible says? Be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. The Bible says, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says, if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. But you know something, guys? The greatest need we have is for you and I to set our minds on being holy for the glory of God. We need to be holy because the world around us doesn't know what purity is all about. Holiness is the greatest need that we guys, we men, need to bring to the home. And the woman can help also by being holy in the things we think, in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Be holy, the Bible says. And you know one thing I noticed this afternoon? I was reading John 17 for myself in a back room over here. And it just dawned on me. Jesus facilitates that you and I can be holy because He prayed for us. And He said to God the Father, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. We're not alone when we want to be holy. We're not alone when we want to be pure. Jesus Himself prayed for you and for me. And He said, Father, sanctify them, purify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Thirdly, we have power to share the good news. The power doesn't belong to us. There's a young evangelist on the platform tonight, two of them, two young evangelists, but they don't have the power in themselves. Who has the power? God has the power. And Jesus Christ, who lives in us, is the power of God. When you share the good news with a cheerful heart, when you share with people what Jesus has done for you, you don't have to be a genius. All you have to say is, Jesus, you live in me. Therefore, I have the power. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to share what I know of you. And you have the power. Imagine if all of us went back to Pennsylvania and New Jersey and New York and wherever, and all of us, in the power of Jesus, simply gave out the good news. Is there power here tonight? Yes, because Jesus lives in me, I have the power. And you know, that's not an arrogant thing to say. It's simply Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for me and rose from the dead, chose to live in me, and He chose to live in you, and you, and you, and you. And therefore, you have the power, if only you'd believe it. And then fourthly, we have the power of going to heaven when we die. You know, many people don't know that. My father died when I was 10 years old, and it was so impressive to me. He was a young dad. He was only 34, and I was a boy. And my dad, just before he died, began to sing a song to Jesus Christ about heaven and crowns up there. And he clapped his hands. And then he pointed up to heaven and he said, I'm going to be with Jesus, which is far better. And my dad went off to be with the Lord. And you know, he knew he was going to heaven because Jesus Christ lived in his heart. About 14 years ago, I was in England, in London, and we were having a youth campaign. And I had just met a girl called Mandy. She was 13. Her boyfriend, Graham, was 16, 3 years older. They were just going out. And he brought her over and he said, "Mr. Palau, this is Mandy. She's my girlfriend. I want you to meet her." And I said, "Mandy, have you opened your heart to Jesus Christ yet?" She said, "Not yet, but I came to listen." I said, "What's your dad do?" She said, "My dad is a jazz musician." "What's your mom do?" "She works on television." "Do you live with your parents?" She said, "No, they're divorced. I live with an aunt." And so I said, "Well, listen carefully, Mandy, 13 years old." And I said, "At the invitation, when I invite kids to come to Christ, you give your life to Christ." So I presented. I remember I talked about the prodigal son. And when I finished the invitation, and I said, "All of you who have given your life to Christ, come here and we'll have a prayer together." And the first one to get up, I saw her. She was sitting with Graham to my right, was Mandy. She came running and Graham behind her. Graham came from a Christian home. She came and stood there and I said, "I'm going to counsel Mandy myself." So I went down and I sat down with Mandy. And you know, she was a beautiful teenager. She had never, ever read the Bible in all her life. Her dad and mom were British, but they were absolutely pagan. They never baptized their kids. They never read the Bible to them. Nothing to do with God. Mandy understood perfectly. The power of God came into her life. She received Christ. Then 3 years later, I was back in America and I got a phone call. And a friend of mine said, "Do you remember Mandy?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Do you know what happened? 3 years ago, when you led her to Christ, she was changed with power. In the high school there in London, everybody knew Mandy. Everybody loved Mandy. She impacted the high school. She impacted movie stars, television personalities because of her family. And she impacted her uncle and aunt. And then, when she was 3 days from turning 16, she'd gone with Graham in a convertible that his dad had. They were going to buy a little birthday gift. It began to drizzle in the south of England. The street became slippery. Graham was driving too fast. He turned a curve. He couldn't do it. Crashed the car against the wall. Graham was thrown out of the car, over the wall onto some bushes, almost not a scratch. Mandy, the sweetheart, had a seatbelt on, and the way the car rolled, the stick shift went right through her, and she died on the spot. And the mother said to this friend of mine, "I want you to ask Palau to come from America and do the burial service." Because Mandy was always talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Palau led her to Jesus. So I went over there, and I'll tell you guys, this church was jammed with movie stars, television people, high school kids, that Mandy, in only 3 years, with the power of Jesus Christ, had impacted all these people. And in England, they had the casket right in front of the pulpit, and there was the body of Mandy fixed up, ready for burial in a few minutes. So I spoke to the crowd, and I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happened to Mandy 3 years ago." And I said, "This isn't Mandy. This is the house that Mandy lived in for 16 years. Mandy is in heaven. Her soul and her spirit went to be with Jesus 4 days ago when the car crashed and she was dead. Her body was dead, but Mandy is alive. She's in heaven with Jesus Christ right now because of Jesus Christ." We went to the house. They had a sort of a wake where people sit around for hours and so on and talk and so on. The uncle took me aside. He was an atheist. He gave his life to Christ because of Mandy's death. The aunt was an atheist. She received Christ because of Mandy's death. But in only 3 years, that was the point I wanted to make. In only 3 years, the power of God was on this girl. She wasn't brought up in a Christian home. She didn't know the Bible as much as many of us here. But she walked with God and the power of God worked through her. You have the power. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Because Jesus lives in you, you have the power. And you know, that is the power of God that can come upon your life. Now you say, how can I get the power of God? You may say, I'm not like Mandy. I don't know how to share. I'm afraid. What shall I do? First of all, the power of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you the moment you open your heart to Christ. The Bible says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The moment you receive Christ, some of you received Christ last night. Some of you received Christ years ago. But perhaps you forgot that you have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know, listen to this, that your body is the temple of God? That body of yours as a girl, that body of yours as a man, is the temple of the Spirit of God if you receive Jesus Christ. And it says you receive from God. It is in you. You were bought for a price. You are not your own. You belong to God. And that's why you have the power if you know Jesus Christ. Because you were bought by God at the cross of Jesus Christ. Some people don't know that. Even though we're born in a Christian home, we are baptized, we go to Sunday school, we listen to the Bible, we listen to the musicians, we know the songs, but they forget that you are the temple of God. And the Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Guys, girls, men and women, boys and girls, you have the power, but it's supernatural power. It's the power of the Spirit of God. Second, the power is the power of God's word and God's promises. The Bible has power. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is not like other books. It's worthy to kneel before the Bible and read it on our knees. Someone said there's 3,000 promises in this book. 3,000 promises. Imagine the power for you as men, you teenage guys, you teenage girls, if you memorize even 50 promises of the Word of God, and then you begin to live them and practice them, the power in your life, power when temptation comes, power when you get a chance to witness for Christ, power when your mind fills with fear, power if your parents are breaking up. Some of you guys come from broken homes. And look at a promise from the Bible. It says, even if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. In a crowd like this, there could be 10,000 of you who come from a broken home. To you, the Lord says, listen, I love you. And even though your father or your mother abandon you, the Lord says, I will lift you up. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And you have the power. It's bad that a father should abandon his children. It's wrong that a mother should abandon the children. But God says, leave that aside and let me be your father. And you know there's power in the Word of God. Jesus said in that prayer, did you notice? Make them holy by your truth. Your Word is truth. And tonight, when I give you the invitation in a few moments, I'm going to ask you not only to come to the God of power, to the Jesus who lives within you if you already know Him, but you also come to the Word of God, that you come humbly and say, oh God, I haven't paid enough attention to the power of your word. Tonight, I am committing to taking your promises and your very words seriously. I want to know the power of God's word. Thirdly, let me give you two promises in the Bible. First one, Hebrews 10:17. For those of you who feel guilty tonight, Maybe you've done something you shouldn't have done in thoughts, in words, in actions. And you feel, I don't belong here. You may feel, I've been a hypocrite. You may say, I was brought up in the church. I knew the truth, and I messed up, and I knew it, and I did it on purpose. The Lord says, whoever covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. If you feel guilty tonight, I want you to come running to Jesus in a few moments when I give the invitation. Literally, just get up and come running and say, Jesus, I will not cover anything up. I will confess it and renounce it. And you know the promise that I love? Hebrews 10:17. Listen to this. For those of you who feel a burden that you fail God and you feel rejected, he says, your sins and evil behavior I will remember no more, says the Lord. It's a beautiful promise. It's a beautiful promise. Your sins and evil behavior I will remember no more. And for some of you who come from a background where you're not sure about eternal life, and you wonder, and you say, but I failed God so much, how can I be sure of eternal life? I have stumbled, I have rebelled, I've been stupid, I've done wrong things. How can I have the assurance of eternal life? Listen to the promise, listen carefully, for those of you who have doubts. Jesus says in John 10:28, I give them eternal life. You will never perish, and no one can snatch you out of my hands. Listen to it again, for those of you who have doubts. Jesus is speaking, not Luis Palau, not the church, not some theologian, Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life. You will never perish, and no one can snatch you out of my hands. Is that assurance or what of eternal life? Yes, it is assurance of eternal life. So, where do you get the power? You get it by the Holy Spirit. You get it by the Word of God. Thirdly, you get the power through Jesus, the Savior of the world. 1 Corinthians 1, the Word of God says, Jesus is the power of God. When you have Jesus, you have everything you'll ever need to have the power of God, because Jesus is the power of God. So if you know Jesus, you don't worry what denomination you belong to. What you care is, I know the powerful Son of God. Second, I have the wisdom of God because I have Jesus Christ, and He is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the power of God. And you know how He showed His power? Listen, by the resurrection. Amen? The resurrection. When He died on the cross, the blessed Jesus took away all our sins. That's why we're free and we're happy and we can sing. When you know Jesus Christ, you know God. Yes, we grow in the knowledge of God, but you know Him and you have the power of God, the power of the resurrection. And you know what Paul said? Listen, and I'll give you the invitation. Paul said in Philippians 3, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Every young guy who's here today who loves God, you want the power of God to live resurrection life. The life of the Christian is not just imitating Jesus, though He is our example. We live by the supernatural power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what it says? Galatians 2:20. Listen, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I. It's Christ living in me. That's the power of the resurrection. Imagine, they say that in America, There's about 40 million Americans who say they're born-again Christians. Supposing it is 40 million, imagine the difference it would make all across America if 40 million Americans literally believed that Jesus lives in them. What a difference in school. What a difference at work. What a difference in the family. What a difference in the neighborhood. If you walk out the front door and you say, Jesus lives in me, man. I'm not alone. I'm not just a lost soul. I'm not a lonely Christian. The resurrected Lord Jesus lives in me. 40 million Americans, we would revolutionize the country. That's one person for every five Americans, or every six anyway. Every six Americans, one would be a believer who believes Christ lives in me. And tonight, I'd like to call of you, thousands of you, to make a commitment to stand up and say, Blessed Jesus, I believe because your word says it, that you literally live in me. And I commit myself, oh God, so your power should be seen in my life. So the power is the power of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. And even when we have to suffer in this world, we have supernatural power because Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. So you say, Luis, what shall I do? First, simply believe and trust that that is a fact. And as you drive home, talk about it. Hey, do you really believe Christ lives in me? I do. Let's talk about it. How's it going to affect our life? What are we going to do that's different? Talk about it. Pray about it. Sing about it. That's the first thing. Believe it because God says it. Secondly, if you feel you've drifted from God, whatever your religious background, you come at this moment when I give you the invitation and say, oh God Almighty, I truly am coming back to you. I come broken. I come humble. I come confessing my sin. No show, no pretense, no duplicity, no hypocrisy, just you and our marvelous Father who's looking down. And come and say, Lord, I truly repent. And when you truly repent, listen, you are instantly forgiven. Instantly. You don't have to wait till you go to church tomorrow. You don't have to wait even to go to bed tonight. Right now, right here, if you are broken and repentant, the Lord says, I have forgiven your sin. And your sins and evil deeds, I will remember no more, says the Lord. Simply believe it. Trust Him. God says it. Secondly, come back to God if you have to. And fall on your knees and make a radical decision. I am crucified with Christ. To be crucified means I'm going to break with everything that's wrong. I'm going to give up everything that grieves the Spirit of God. Because Christ lives in me, man. And I want to be holy because God is holy. I want to love other people because Jesus said I can do it. I want to share the faith. Because desperately, Americans need Jesus. And then finally, begin tonight an obedient lifestyle. If you love me, you will obey my commands. You love Jesus. I know you do. Okay? Begin a lifestyle of obedience. And His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are a pleasure. Because they set you free and His commandments protect you. When the Bible says don't commit adultery, it's to protect you and other people. When the Bible says don't steal, it's to protect you and other people. When the Bible says don't lie, it's to protect you and other people. When the Bible says don't covet, is to protect you and other people. So tonight, every one of you can take a step before God our Father and come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I will walk with you. I love you. I will obey your commands. And his commands are not a burden. Okay, please listen carefully. I'm going to ask you, lead you in a prayer of commitment. Fresh commitment for some of us. First time commitment for others. Would you pray this prayer with me to the Lord on high? Join me. Let me hear you. I'll lead you phrase by phrase. Oh God, my Father, you are a good God. Most of all, oh Father, you are here tonight. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, I want to know you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your cross took away all my sins. You will never remember my sins because of the blood of Jesus. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I confess with my lips, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. I will stand, O Lord, for the poor and the needy. I will reach the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. I will walk an upright life. I will speak the truth. I will not be ashamed of you, Jesus. I will confess with my lips, you are the Son of God. I will not be ashamed. I will not hide your cross. I'll tell people about your blood. Lord Jesus, you are alive. You live in me. And I have the power because Christ lives in me. In his name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.